Here's Pastor Brian as he concludes this week's study.
Welcome to the program today. All this week we've been listening to a study which was taught live at Calvary Chapel La Mirada as part of a verse-by-verse study through the Sermon on the Mount as recorded in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. This is our fifth and final study on the second beatitude, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Our study today will focus on the fact that we should see ourselves as God sees us and then mourn over this sinful condition. And as we do this, we are promised that God will bring His comfort into our lives. Only the true child of God can understand what it is to receive the comfort of God after repentance from sin. Let's now go to a study taught live at Calvary Chapel La Mirada.
We should all be mourning, and as I said, it's ongoing. It's present tense. Those who are mourning, those are the ones that will be comforted. And I found in my own life, as I've been walking with the Lord, again, I don't start seeing myself as better, I start seeing myself as worse. But I'm not saying in a morbid sense of way where you allow the devil to come in and condemn. You just see sin as it is and you hate it. You hate it that it's in your life. You're not going to blame anybody else. You know, own up to it. This is in my life and I don't want it there. Then God comes in and He comforts you. That word comfort there is the same word used to refer to the Holy Spirit, paraklet, one that comes alongside. That's what the Lord does to those broken lives that realize that they've ruined their own life and sin has come in and brought damage. He comes in and He brings us comfort and forgiveness and restoration. There's such a great blessing in mourning over your own sinful condition. I like what Martin Luther said of Romans chapter 7. Listen to these words of the statement, "I am carnal, sold under sin." He said, "That is the proof of a spiritual and wise man. He knows that he is carnal, and he is displeased with himself. Indeed, he hates himself and praises the law of God, which he recognizes because he is spiritual. But the proof of the foolish, carnal man is this, that he regards himself as spiritual and is pleased with himself." So if you could walk around and say, "I'm okay," then you need more help than you realize. You're in a desperate situation. Because God says that we're sinners and we are poor in spirit, we have nothing to offer Him, and we've broken and offended His law, and there's nothing we could do about it to make it right. And we say, "Well, I'm okay." I mean, God had to send His Son to suffer and die on a cross. That should tell you how God views sin. He didn't just say, "Come and teach Him the way and live a good life and die a normal death to get older," and He crucified Him. I think that's a statement of God's view of sin. And that's what's in our heart. That's what's been in our heart. And we need to despise that and hate that. Let's look at two passages of the life of David, and that's where we'll end this morning. Go with me over to the Psalms, and you'll see how this comforting aspect comes in. Psalm chapter 32. Verse 3 and verse 4 talks about David when he wasn't mourning over his own sin, when he was trying to hide it. Remember his sin with Bathsheba? He tried to hide it for about a year. Then the prophet came and it was exposed. But David's going to describe that condition of his heart during that time when he was trying to cover his sin. He says, "When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer." The very life was drained out of me. It was like my bones were being crushed as your heavy hand was upon me. There's no joy in that. And if you're a Christian and you're trying to hide sin, God's heavy hand is on you, isn't it? Saying, "Don't do that. You need to change. You need to repent." And David resisted for a year and covered it up. Thought everything was okay. "Hey, covered my tracks. I'm all right." But inwardly, he wasn't experiencing that blessedness. Because there's no joy in a Christian that is living a lifestyle that's contrary to the things of God. See, if you're not a Christian, you live contrary to God. There's consequences to that. But if you're a Christian, because you know the truth too much. And every decision that you make, all these scriptures flood your mind, and you know you're violating God's will and God's desire. And you can't live with yourself. It's like your vitality is just drained right out of you. Because you have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit starts grieving, and He starts grieving your heart. There's no joy in that. And so David said, "When I was hiding my sin, It's like your heavy hand was upon me. That's why that passage says when we repent because of that godly sorrow, we don't regret it. When we're rescued from sin, boy, there's just such a joy there. We weren't finding joy in the sin. Maybe some sort of satisfaction of the flesh, but inwardly it's just like, oh, I don't want this anymore in my life. Look what he says, though, in the first verse of Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. See, that's that comfort. That's the man that's blessed when his sin is forgiven and cleansed and washed. Not harboring it, not trying to sneak around and, you know, get away with things. Always having to look over your shoulder. Oh, I wonder when this is going to be exposed. And you have to live with that guilt and that pressure. There's no joy in that as a Christian. It's in mourning, saying, this is in my life. I don't want it. I want to get rid of it. And when it's repented, God comes in and cleanses. And what could you call it other than the Holy Spirit coming along and bringing that sense of comfort to your hearts? He says, whose sin is covered, blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute iniquity. Now, look, jump down to verse 8. After David experiences forgiveness, it says, God says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Now, because David has repented of sin, he's no longer wrestling with God. He says, I'll guide you with my eye. And that's the way an owner of the house would conduct his business with the servants. He would just look at them in a certain way, and they knew what he wanted. He didn't have to yell at them and drive them and say, this is what you need to do. Just a certain nod or a certain look that communicated, and the servant was responsive. And that's the way God wants us to be. And there's great joy in that when God just has to look at us in that sense. Or we read something in the Bible, our heart's ready to do it rather than our will wrestling. See, but it comes not by hiding from our sin or trying to not let anyone find out about it, by mourning over it. And God comes in and cleanses and forgives. Let's look at one last passage, Psalm 51. Once again, in the last part of verse 8, he talks about those bones being crushed. Again, hiding his sin, he says, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Look at verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. That's where I believe this fruit of mourning comes in. We're grieved over our own sin to the point where we can't take it any longer. We hate it, we despise it, we want to turn from it. God cleanses us, but then also he creates in us a new heart. And he gives us victory. He gives us victory over that thing that we despise. And I believe that's where there is great joy, when you're no longer doing something that you know is contrary to God's will. It's sinful, it disgusts even your own mind and heart that you did these things, and God rescues you, and you have a new heart where you don't want to do that any longer. Boy, there's just a sense of satisfaction, a sense of joy, a blessedness that we're reading about in the Beatitudes, that comfort of God upon your life. You know, again, these are... I'm not saying you walk around all bummed out and discouraged and the frown. I'm mourning, I'm real happy. That's not it. See, there's no joy in the mourning itself. You know where the joy comes? The joy comes in God's response to your mourning as he comes in and cleanses and renews and sets free. That's where the comfort is. But it has to start with mourning. And if you really want God to do some sort of work in your life, and I believe all revivals start this way, as a sense of desperation before God. We come before him and we're grieved over our own weakness. We want to do the will of God, but we find these things tripping us up. We just come before God. Oh, I can't stand this any longer. God, set me free. Change my heart. I need your power. I need your strength. I come before you poor in spirit, seeking power and life that you have to offer. I believe God responds to that. The Bible says that God gives more grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. The proud says, I'm not that bad. Or I'll take care of it. You know, I'm getting around to it. You know, this is the last time I'll do that, but I'm going to fix it. The humble says, it grieves me that I'm not even able to handle this. I'm weak, and I come before you. And I believe there's periods where God brings us to that point. You can't create this in your own heart. I believe you have to come before the Lord. And, you know, about a month ago or 2 months ago, I don't know when it was exactly, I preached a message on being serious about the kingdom. You know, I had to study that all week, and it was a strong exhortation. I believe it was from the Lord. You have to realize, as I'm reading this, God's exhorting me. And there's things in my life I'm saying, God, how could I live this out with these areas of my life? And there was just a mourning in my heart of saying, God, I want to be free from these things. And I gave opportunity for people to come and pray. And, you know, as I prayed, it was just a mourning that was going. It was just a sick of sin. Just, I don't want this in my life. But you know what? God created in me a new heart that day. And those things I was praying for are gone. And I'm definitely not regretting of that. The sin wants to come in and have a bondage upon your life. And God wants us to do His will. And I was just in that place of it started with mourning. It started with poverty of spirit. God, I need Your help. Coming to You desperately as a beggar, you know, sick of my own condition. I believe God met me. Not only forgiveness, but set me free. And that's where the, as I said, this great blessing comes in through the mourning process. Again, not in the mourning itself, but in the work that God does to response to your mourning. Wonderful comfort that only Jesus Christ could bring.
This concludes the broadcast today, and I hope that this week has been a blessing to you and that you have learned what it means to be blessed through mourning. At this point, I'd like to lead us in a word of prayer that we'd continually see ourselves as God sees us and that we'd turn to Him for cleansing and for purity. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for Your Word. We thank You that Your Word is pure and true and accurate. As we examine our lives according to the standard of the Word of God, Lord, we acknowledge that we all fall short according to Your perfect and holy standard. And I thank You that as we acknowledge that and we repent and we see that within our own lives, as we turn to You, that there's comfort that comes from heaven above. You bring Your forgiveness, You bring Your cleansing, You bring Your purity. And I thank You that we could turn to You day after day after day and experience this comfort that comes from God as we mourn over our own spiritual condition. Lord, we do desire purity in the inward part. We desire purity in our heart and mind and in the inner man, and we pray that You would bring that about. Lord, we don't want to settle for purity that would be outward, that man would approve of, but we want that purity that is inward, that only You could produce by the power of Your Holy Spirit. I know that begins as we mourn and express our need for a fresh work of the Holy Spirit, a fresh work of holiness, a fresh work of purity, a fresh work of righteousness within our life. Bring that about, we ask, Lord God, as we turn to You and only to You for that work. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.